morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how you doing?
Ready for fall.
Ready for fall. You know, there were a couple mornings a little bit cooler and need to ratchet back the light timer settings. I know it's getting a little darker out there already. But still, I'll take this over smoke.
Yeah.
It's been nice to see the blue sky again. We have with us our in-house lending specialist, Mr. Mike Denslow from Home Street. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm glad we have a smoke-free radio show.
Yes, finally. It took us a little while, but yeah, it's been very, very nice for sure. Well, before we jump into to today's topic, we always like to do our celebrity real estate story. Now, this one's a repeat. A couple months ago, I had read a story on the show that Johnny Depp was trying to sell a Kentucky horse farm that he owned. He had originally purchased that for his mother, who has since passed away. But interesting history on that property. When I gave the story a couple months ago, it was listed for $3.4 million. Price was reduced to $2.9 million and still not sold. So now they are going to have an auction on the property to get rid of it. I looked back, though. The history of that place was really, really interesting. He had bought this hobby farm in 95 for just under $1 million, like $950,000. He sold that same property in 2001 for $1 million. And then obviously they missed it because he came back in 2005 and bought it for $2 million. Twice as much. Do you think the seller knew they had a motivated buyer? He might have even bought that unlisted, but now cannot unload it at the $2.9 million. It was interesting. The quote from the agent said, "The price to the relative number of features and stalls for horses have prevented the property from selling." So they're going to try an auction on that baby. So it'll be interesting to see what the final number comes out on that property.
Yeah, because he's just going to turn around and buy it for $1 million more than that number in a couple of years.
Potentially. Or maybe it was his mom's deal and he's done with it. So that's our crazy celebrity real estate story that's out there. We always like to take that topic and temper it with our local topic. And as Mike and I were talking, and man, I got to tell you, over the course of the last couple weeks, with what we've seen around the country, it really makes you start to think about things with the flooding in Houston. And so first we had Harvey, and then we had Irma, and it wasn't as bad as they thought in Florida earlier this week, but it still was something where you look around and say, you know what, I've got it pretty good here in the Tri-Cities.
Absolutely. Besides, yeah, you know, a little bit of smoke and a little bit of snow this year.
Yeah, it didn't make that seem too bad when I was watching these news stories. And then it was interesting because we had the story start to come out about who in Houston had flood insurance, and they'd never had a flood there before. And so I started to think about the properties that I own and what that's like. And so, of course, that got us to thinking we need to get an expert in here on insurance, mm-hmm, and talk about how this relates to our policies and what we should be thinking about. So I called up my good friend Joe Peterson with the Joe Peterson Insurance Agency, and we've got him in here in the studio with us. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Lance. It's a pleasure.
Well, you know, of course, we called you for a disaster. We probably should call you when it's not a disaster, is what I'm assuming.
At least 30 days prior.
Well, before we dig into this, I know a lot of people, you're a great marketer. I hear your commercials on the radio and stuff, too. And there's some, you've done some really awesome and funny commercials, and I always get a kick out of that. But before we jump into the topic, we always like to get a little background. So talk to me. How did you get into insurance? How long in the industry? Give me a little background.
It's a really long story, so I'll keep it real brief. I was in the sporting goods wholesaling industry, and the company had some really old owners that decided to retire and told us to go find jobs. I wanted to be a financial advisor, and so I went out and started working on licensing. And before I made it all the way up the chain at Merrill Lynch and Smith Barney, Pemco Insurance called me and asked me if I wanted a job, and my wife liked the idea of a salary. So I got into the insurance business, and then 5 years after working for them, they said, hey, you got to start your own deal. So a little over 14 years ago, my wife, with her backing, and I started JPI. And, you know, it's grown exponentially, almost as fast as the Kenmore team.
But, oh, boy. It's been fun to watch. And I know you've got some great agents down there and a great team out there, and we always enjoy working with them, and they do a great job. So, and family, too? Local Tri-Cityan, what do we got going on there?
My wife's been, she had to go back to work when I started the agency, so she's been working as a fifth and sixth grade math teacher over at Liberty Christian for the last 15 years, and got three kids that we've grown up now. I've got an engineer out at the lab, Jacob, and my middle son, Brandon, is in his final year of engineering school down in Portland and already has a job as well. And my daughter is following in her mother's footsteps, and she's a third-year Wazoo Coug studying elementary education. So she's actually in the classroom at Sacagawea this year.
Wow, you are tied in. I'm learning all kinds of new stuff. I picked up a couple tidbits there I didn't know. So, well, that's awesome. And we always think that local perspective helps in business when we talk to business owners and how they're looking out for the properties and they're in the community also. So I know the subject, you know, there's probably a lot of different angles to it in the time we have, but give me your perspective on things. I mean, when we look at, you know, something like this that has happened in Houston, and a lot of those people didn't have flood insurance. And I look at my policy in my house, and I don't have it either. And then I look at some events that have happened around the Tri-Cities, and I think of like canal breaks, you know, where homes have been flooded with water. So why don't you give me an overview, Joe, of kind of from your perspective, what you walk clients through or what people in these situations are going through?
Well, at the 30,000 view, people need to know that their standard homeowners insurance policy does not cover flood. And that can be confusing because if your pipe breaks in your house, that's, well, you would oftentimes call that a flood, but that's not how the insurance company look at it. So the best way to look at it is for outside water. If it rains really hard, this summer we had one of the biggest rainstorms, and we had quite a few people that had their homes flooded. And that kind of water intrusion into the home is not covered on a typical homeowner's insurance policy. Many of those people were not in a flood zone, were never told that they needed to or should buy flood insurance. And it just makes it real hard to find out later. Now, that is disclosed by the insurance companies on the deck pages that they get every year. Their agent should be telling them this when they're buying it and being offered the coverage. And if you don't live in a flood zone, it's dirt cheap. So, you know, if you have some concerns, there are things that make you more at risk. You mentioned canal. We've actually had quite a few calls on canal breaks in the past where it's usually damaged just minimal to the home, but it's moved a lot of shrubbery and concrete around, that kind of thing, made a mess. So that's happened. And then people that have, like, you're the real estate expert, the type of homes where your garage comes into the bottom, you got a lot of concrete that just flows into a home on the side of a hill, and boy, you get one of those gully washer thunderstorms that we get, and, you know, get that massive amount of rain all at once. And we've had people open up doors and have bathtubs worth full of water just come, you know.
Yeah, and that's really interesting. And in June, I believe it's June where we had that rainstorm. What was really interesting is the next week of home inspections. We had a number of homes where there was water in the crawl space that had to be remediated. I know there was a number of homes in the Hills West area on some of those steeper hillsides where the water ran over the curb and then through the yard into the house. And then even some people that worked on our team A couple of them lived up in Country Ridge, and there was a bad canal break up there and washed out, you know, quite a few portions of people's yards or driveways. So I definitely think, I mean, just being aware and exposed to some of that stuff, if you did live in the vicinity or below a canal like that, I mean, to me, it seems like that'd be something you would look at getting now.
Absolutely. Probably, I'm going to guess here that those nice homes up in Country Ridge would be $250 a year to cover for flood insurance for both their home and the contents of the home.
Absolutely. And so when you look at that too, and you look at an area like Houston that went through something like that, and I think the stats that I was seeing out in our research was only 20% of those homes, they believe, had coverage like that.
Oh yeah.
And so yeah, that is definitely, when you're looking at a $200,000-$400,000 loss, I mean, it's definitely something. I bet there's a lot more of them that have it after the fact, for sure. And I think that you must take a lot of those calls when they have a rainstorm like that and somebody comes. I mean, had I not known better or known you or had these discussions, I think that's something that people believe that they think would be covered.
Yes, how quickly they forget. But
yeah, that's exactly right.
But yeah, I mean, it is any natural disaster. There's a term that gets thrown around out there, and it's completely a fallacy. But they'll mention act of God, and they'll either think that every act of God is excluded, or that's what insurance is for. So it can be very, very confusing. So since we have limited time and we're trying to stay at that 30,000 foot, just if you have water coming in from an outside source, you need to know that you're probably not covered in your home insurance. Now, you have your professional, and if you don't have one, call us. But if you have an agent, you talk to them about it. But
Joe, that's great advice. We've been talking with Joe Peterson of JPI. Joe Peterson Insurance, and he's been talking to us. The events of the last couple weeks have really made us think about what type of insurance coverage do I have? Should I be talking to my agent? Should I be looking at some of these angles? And, you know, it's just worth a phone call to do a review like that. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk more about some home-related insurance issues, talk a little bit about fire, vacancies, and some other things that come up. And we will also get an update from Mike Denslow at Home Street.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been here. Recent events around the nation have brought us to the topic of taking a look at your homeowner's insurance policy. We've got Joe Peterson here with us this week, and the first segment we talked about some of those things to consider with flood insurance and what exclusions are in your coverage. And I mean, this is a great reminder for you to sit down with your agent and review what you may have or what you may not have. I can tell you there is a couple million people in our country right now that are wishing they had done that type of review with their insurance agent. So we figured if we could help just a couple of those in Tri-Cities that listen to the show and take action on that, maybe prevent them from having a catastrophe later on. I always, when I have guests, I run out of time to get my pick three in. So just real quick, inventory still very low in Tri-Cities, but I want to get out some new listings real quick, and I'll just be brief on these. But 4438 Tamarisk in Pasco, this is a 3-bed, 2-bath with a den, stucco rambler, great West Pasco location, 1805 square feet, all the upgrades, granite counters, tile floors, large island, French doors to the den. Great, great location, coming in at $275,000. Pick number two, 5203 Cleveland in Pasco. Another 3-bedroom, 2-bath Rambler. Very nice street, close to parks, close to schools, real close to shopping out there in West Pasco. 1435 square feet, large living room, vaulted ceilings, laminate wood floors. Now that is coming in at $215,000. And I got to tell you right now, that price range from 175 to 225, it's really difficult to find a nice property in that range. So that is one of those that's right in the sweet spot. And then pick number three, 258 Schaller Court in Richland. This is a three-bedroom, three-bath, stucco rambler, South Richland cul-de-sac location, almost 2,500 square feet, very energy-efficient home, solar panel supply. It makes the utility bills about 40% lower, plus you get rebate earnings of about $2,300 a year. So they've done some massive, massive energy efficiencies in this home. Comes with also granite counters, stainless steel appliances, dual fuel range oven, corner pantry. Just really, really nice dialed in South Richland location. And that's coming in at $385,000. So, so some good new inventory coming on. We're kind of getting that surge of post-school listings. So people kind of get back in their school routine. There's some listings coming on the market. This is our final big 2.5-3 month push before the major holidays. And it'll be really, really busy. And it's still a great time to be selling. So, Joe, before the break, we talked a little bit about some of the water issues in the home. And off the air, you and I were briefly talking about a secondary issue. I just wanted to mention it so we don't forget about it. And there's the water to deal with, but sometimes there's the mold that comes after it.
A lot of times, especially if you're in Houston or Florida.
Yeah, I mean, those are going to be an issue. And now one of the things you mentioned off the air is sometimes there's limits in those policies and they can run out.
Yes. After the hurricanes of the early 2000s, the insurance companies got raked through the coals by the attorneys. And so they went in and rewrote their policies and put strict limits on how much they're going to pay for mold remediation to remove mold from homes. And so the most I've seen is about a $10,000 limit. The best limit I've seen is $10,000. So you likely have $10,000 or less coverage if you have that. Now, we do live in the desert, and most are going to feel pretty comfortable. We'll never have mold here, but I've actually seen homes that had over $200,000 worth of damage just from mold in the last decade here, one out in North Richland. So it does happen. It's a lot more, it's a lot less frequent here in the Tri-Cities than it would be in a humid environment like Houston, but it can happen. So protect yourself.
Yeah, and we've seen that too. I mean, in home inspections and with litigation in the industry right now, mold is a big hot topic. And so I tell you, the home inspectors are trained to look for it, and they're going to call it out if there's anything anywhere close to it. We see it come up on a number of reports. And I can tell you, you know, just in the last 12 months, we've probably had four or five mold remediation claims where the companies had to go out. Now, they weren't major ones, but a lot of times some very common ones is the bathroom vent in even in new construction. Sometimes we've seen where that bathroom vent does not get connected all the way through the attic to the outside, or they might have put the vent in but not plumbed, maybe missed plumbing that pipe. So you've got 3 or 4 years of condensation from showers in a bathroom, and all of that condensation just getting blown up into the attic because it's not venting outside. So those are the most common ones that we see in home inspection reports, but we have had to have some mold remediation, so that's a great point, Joe. Another thing, Joe, I know you deal with is fires, and that's scary, but there's house fire claims for people to think about.
Yes, but I have good news.
Okay, give it
fire
to me.
Fire is always covered, unless you set it yourself. Fire is always covered. Okay. So, yeah, no exclusions and limitations on the fire outside of your policy limits. But, yes, fire is, but we are seeing more and more, especially in people's secondary homes that they buy at lakes and cabins and in the woods. And because the loss experience of the insurance companies of the past few years and the uptick in these disasters. The underwriting is becoming more, they're much more stringent. They're going back through and underwriting their books, non-renewing a lot of business. So do yourself a favor and give yourself big fire breaks. Keep a lot of fuel away from the home. And even at that, that only does so much good, but you're going to get worked with. But we saw last week the fire in the gorge that jumped the Columbia River. I mean, so fire breaks are fire breaks, and the Columbia River is a pretty good one. And it was even able to jump that. So,
yeah.
But, you know, companies always appreciate it when you do your best. Obviously, they're there to pay claims when they get to, but they want to mitigate their risk.
Joe, that's really good information. Mike, we want to get a check in with you on the mortgage side of stuff. And I know you've been on the Parade of Homes Committee, and it's been a busy couple weeks. And plus, today and tomorrow, wrapping up on things. But what's going on the lending side of things with Home Street, and what do we need to know right now?
Well, we're keeping busy. It's that funniest time where, you know, you think summer is going to be really busy because people have so much time, but people go on a lot of vacations, and then everybody gets back home and school starts, and then it's like, why didn't we do something over the summer? So applications are up. And I've had several people in talking about, oh, we went out to the parade last weekend and we want to build a house. I mean, it's already happening. I went out and I got to tell you that the view from the New Tradition home in Badger Mountain South is incredible. What Gretel did in Cottonwood Springs is incredible. Polish won Best in Parade for their home. Fessers built another great home. I could go through the whole list, and we're very spoiled in the quality of the builders we have in town, and it shows. And today and tomorrow is the last days to get out there. Circle K and get your tickets and go check out some houses.
Absolutely. Yeah, very, very good stuff. Karen and I went through a few already and got a few more to go through, but yeah, there are some fantastic homes in the parade. And yeah, just a really, once again, thank you to the HBA for putting that event on. And thank you to all the builders and subs. I know they were tired because those 3 weeks leading up to the parade homes, those guys are not working regular hours. I can tell you that for sure. So there were a lot of nights at 9:30, 10 o'clock where I drove by and there were still subcontractors out there working hard on it. So.
Well, yeah, they've got a deadline on the judging, and if you want to win awards, you've got to be done by that day.
Absolutely. Well, good information, Mike. Wow. Best way for people to get a hold of you if they're looking for a mortgage on some of these homes they've seen.
572-3651.
Perfect. And a few more tips before we wrap up here. Very fortunate to have Joe Peterson with JPI in here talking about insurance. We've seen so many natural disasters and things happen across our country over the last couple weeks. It's just a sobering reminder to look at your policy. It's not the first thought that you have. A lot of times I think what happens is that's wrapped up in your mortgage and it gets paid once a year. And, you know, it's one of those things where you forget about it until you know you need it. And I just thought this was a glaring reminder for us to get an expert in here to talk about that a little bit. And Joe, what are some of the things you see at those renewals, or What are some of the questions if you're a consumer and they say, gosh, I'm going to call Joe afterwards, or, you know, I'm going to call my agent? What should they be asking their agent? Or if you were that consumer right now and you were checking on your policy, what's one or two things that they should make sure they're asking their agent?
Well, at the risk of coming down from the 30,000-foot level that we want to stay at, I would say you'd want to know whether it's a named peril policy or an open peril, all-risk insurance policy. That's a big difference. It picks up things like broken articles, mysterious disappearance, things like that. I'd also mention that earthquake is not covered. It's just like the flood we talked about earlier. Earthquake is never, well, or very rarely part of a standard homeowner's insurance policy. So, you know, if that's a concern for you, overshadowed in this past week with the hurricanes, the two of them, the wildfires in Montana and here in the Gorge. They had a 8.1 earthquake in Mexico, and it killed, I think, 30 people. Mm-hmm. We didn't hear about it because we were focused on what was nearer to home. Another thing that we like to check at is what is the use of the home. Another risk of big loss is if you are not using the home in the way that the insurance company thinks you are. I would heard of a story out of Hermiston. It wasn't one of my clients. I think I can speak to it briefly enough. House burnt to the ground. Somebody started a fire in a garbage dumpster next to his house. Well, he hadn't lived in his house in 5 years, but his daughter was. And the insurance company, I guess, had enough reason to deny the claim because he wasn't the primary occupant of the home. Now we're really down not at the $30,000. So just speak with your agent. That can happen where people own a home, they buy a second home, they may, sometimes you don't know. We do find a lot of people come in and they're not living in the home that we thought they were. They might have several rentals and they've switched and they just didn't think to cut because it's covered by insurance.
Yeah.
But all policies are not the same.
And we talk about that on the show a lot where someone buys an investment, you know, they buy a new home and they keep their previous one as an investment. Well, that's a big talk to have with your insurance agent. Yeah. on making those change. And Mike, I know you see stuff like this in the lending side also.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say it's a great idea to reach out to someone like Joe or Joe himself, because what we see in the lending business is it's something people, we tell them, hey, you need to let us know who you're using, and something that happens right at the end of the purchase process. And they're looking for just a number, $40 a month, $50 a month, $60 a month, because it's blended in with their house payment. And they're not looking at all these different coverages and having the long conversations. So if you're in your house, what's the harm in calling up a professional and hitting all these questions that we brought up?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very, very necessary. And yeah, you definitely, you don't want the surprise.
No.
I think you can, a couple extra bucks a month, you can probably sleep a little more peacefully for sure. Joe, for people that, I know we just scratched the surface of things, for people that need to get a hold of you for these type of homeowners insurance questions, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Just Google joepetersoninsurance.com, 736-3599. We're glad to help point you back toward your agent if you have one, or give you all the answers we can.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for coming in and being on the show. And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.